Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Success Codes podcast. I am super excited. I have a very special guest with me today. Her name is Diane Lang. She's a practicing counselor, speaker, educator, and author who has dedicated her career to helping people turn their lives around and develop a sustainable, positive attitude. Welcome, Diane.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes. And you know what I want to dive into first is the word sustainable, because that's a big word and
it's
extremely important. And I agree with you. So I know you had a health journey. So however you want to kick it off, but I definitely want to make sure we touch on that word. So let me hand it over to you to share a little bit about what you do and how you help others.
Well, you know what? It's funny because sustainable has been in my bio, but no one has ever asked about it. So, but it is a very big word, because when we think about sustainable, or for me, at least when I think about it or talking with clients, I'm always thinking about, you know, is this sustainable in your life? Is this not just realistic? So we always use realistic, right? With goals. And then we don't even talk about realistic time setting goals. But all of it has to be whatever your goals, your dreams are, the time frame you give yourself. It all has to be sustainable. Now, so it's looking at your life of where you are at this moment, how busy you are, how much stress you have. Are you overwhelmed? Can you handle this? And will it be sustainable, not just for a month, but 2 months or per year? Could it be a lifestyle change? So I kind of like the word sustainable, because to me, it means that you can continue on and you can do this for a very long time until you decide to shift, or does it work for you anymore? Because, well, we're always growing and changing. So what works for me now might not work next year or even 6 months from now, but it needs to be sustainable for in the moment. But besides that, I've been a counselor. I'll take a step back for over 20 years, showing my age. And I've been working in the field, doing a lot with traumatic brain injury, spinal injury, a lot of PTSD, substance abuse. Kind of got burnt out in the field and switched over to coaching, which I absolutely love. Been doing that for about 6-7 years. As well as speaking, whether it's at conferences, corporations, workshops, webinars, and just trying to help as many people as I can to be their best self, to really be able to enjoy their life, to be happy, to be optimistic, just have a good quality of well-being. So that's why I got my certification in positive psychology coaching, because I don't know if you're familiar with the science. Some people are, some aren't, but positive psychology is really the science of what makes us happy, optimistic, resilient. And, you know, as a counselor, we've always studied what doesn't work, you know, what makes us have mental illness, what's, you know, what are we dealing with, trauma, but we never actually discussed what makes us happy, what makes us resilient, what makes the functioning person even function better. How can we just have an overall good quality of well-being? And that's what I love about the science, is it journeys down that path. And I think we all know that going to have good times and bad times, and we want to be able to make it through the tough times and be as resilient as possible. So I really enjoy the science.
Yeah, that's really cool. And you're right. There are so many people that focus on the, you know, the more negative aspect of life. So tying together sustainable and positivity, especially in this day and age when we have so many distractions, right? You know, how are you giving people some top-sided advice nowadays? Because especially this year, it's going to get rocky.
It's been rocky, right? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's been a very rocky road since, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, even before COVID, when we were dealing with the elections, then COVID, the lockdowns, we're in another election year. Food prices. It's just been kind of a crazy, chaotic world. And the first thing I always start with, because people always say, is positive psychology. Are you always happy? And I'm like, no, there is no such thing. And we don't expect people to be happy all the time. You know, there's negative emotions, which we have in plentiful if you just watch the news or look at the world, right? Stress, anger, anxiety, fear. But on the other side, we also have positive emotions. Gratitude, kindness, love, joy, awe, wonderment, pride, curiosity, hope. And the thing is, we need to balance them out. And I hate when I say negative emotions, because the truth is, they're still natural and normal. they're more negative, more intense, but we do need to feel them. They're very natural and normal. And I don't want people to push them aside or try to avoid them or compartmentalize and pretend they don't exist, because that's when we just keep pushing things down and everything piles up and we snap, or, you know, we just can't take it anymore. So you want to feel your emotions. You need to feel to heal, but we need to balance it with the positive emotions. The unfortunate part is negativity is stronger than positivity. And the reason being is, well, we're born with a negative bias. Everybody is. It's genetic. So we tend to lean towards the negative, notice it, get stuck in it. But we have a choice to balance it out with those positive emotions. But you need three positive emotions to balance out one negative. That's how much stronger the negative emotions are. But so easy to get positive emotions. And the latest studies for positive aging, which is one of the sciences underneath positive psychology, has such real good results with positive emotions that the latest statistic is if you get a daily diet or daily dose of positive emotions, you can live up to 7 years longer, healthier, and happier. Now, that's amazing because, well, positive emotions are free. They're easy to get. And you can get them from giving them or receiving. So it's kind of a two-way street. So, you know, very easily, like if you make your bed in the morning, which, do you make your bed?
Of course, yes.
I do too, right? It takes like 30 seconds to a minute. It's a military activity, but literally just from making your bed, you get the two positive emotions of pride and accomplishment just by making your bed. So everybody make your bed. If you go at night and do a nightly routine, which we should all do to help ourselves sleep well and have a good night's rest, wake up in a better mood, you might want to do some meditation. That's mindfulness. That'll give you, you know, another perk, because mindfulness de-stresses us naturally. But on top of that, what if you do gratitude every night? Just ask yourself, put 2 to 3 things I'm grateful for that happened today. Just look through your day for the little gifts, blessings, and miracles. Well, that's another positive emotion. So just doing gratitude, you could say it in your head, say it out loud, write it in a journal, however you want. Maybe each day you just do one random act of kindness. Again, very easy to do. Hold the door open for someone, smile at someone, give a compliment. There's three positive emotions. Love is another one. Give a hug, receive it, tell someone you love them. Mix gratitude and kindness together. Send somebody a text thinking of you, thank you for being my friend. All of that. So you easily can get 4 or 5. Now, here in the New York, New Jersey area, it's cold out, so we don't have it. But if we're in Florida, like you are, you can go outside and just enjoy beauty. You can get savoring just by savoring it, just taking a walk in nature and noticing, getting that awe and wonderment for the beauty, those kinds of things right there. So we can get positive emotions all the time. So I do think it's realistic. We have to put a little work in us to remind ourselves, hey, did I get my positive emotions? That's why I always say like a diet, kind of thinking like, did you get your fruits, your veggies, enough of the good fats, you know, whatever you need to eat during the day for your own health. Same for your emotional and mental health. Did I get enough positive emotions today? And if I didn't, what do I need? Well, maybe I need a dose of kindness. I'm just going to watch a kindness video. I mean, if you just go on YouTube and put like kindness videos, a million come up. Maybe watch a TED Talk and you get that. Maybe you just send a text to someone, you know, telling them you miss them and you love them and you appreciate them. And the good thing about kindness and gratitude is it's contagious. So if I smile at one person, that person wants to smile at everybody else. It just goes down the row. So we can not only impact ourselves, but impact others with all of these positive emotions. And so we can get the benefits and so can other people. So right there is a way to kind of keep our happiness going. And again, even on those bad days, we're not saying don't feel it, but try to make the best of those days. And it could be finding hope. And hope can just be by talking to a friend who says, yeah, you know what? That does suck. But you know what? What happened to me? And showing their underdog story, or saying, using like growth mindset, well, you just haven't gotten there yet. Just shifting, like a little bit of a reframe can make the difference. Mm-hmm. So positive emotions is one way to kind of cultivate happiness on a daily basis.
Yeah. Yeah. I've told this story so many times before when my husband was suffering from anxiety and depression and we lived in Minneapolis. This was before the internet and so much content being available, but I was just like, just tell me like 3 things that you're grateful for before we went to bed. And it was a struggle for him. And nachos and cheese was, you know, one of those
That's a good one.
Cheese made the list before me. So.
You know, I kind of understand that. For me, it'd be chocolate and my dog. And my dog would beat out my husband, and he knows that. So I'm sure the dog beats me out too. But
yeah, we still do it because we have a very challenging business model with the sport fishing on many levels. And so some days are really rough in our household. I'm not going to lie. And I'll be like, what are you grateful for? And it's, you know, pizza, the dogs, the boat. So yeah, I don't always rate, but that's okay. Because he's mad at me that I made him do the exercise.
Probably. I was going to say, it takes people, like when you're forming a new habit, which could be gratitude or, you know, whatever it is, just adding more water to your diet, whatever it is. It takes us a good 3 months scientifically for it to be a lifestyle. Like in a month or so, you'll notice differences. Mm-hmm. But for you to continue for it to be lifestyle the way, like, you know, you brush your teeth, you tie your shoes, you don't think about it. You just do it. Yeah. For it to become that, you got to give it 3 to 4 months of consistency. Mm-hmm. And then he won't be mad at you anymore. But it has to become part of a routine for him to get used to it. But gratitude is one of the most effective tools we have because it cultivates happiness because it's positive emotion. But the other part about gratitude is it's a form of mindfulness. So it naturally de-stresses you, brings you back to the moment. And if you do it in this specific way at the end of the day, where you just look through your day for the gifts and blessings, like what are you grateful for that happened today? And it could be small. The sun came out. I got good parking. I made it into the building before it rained on me. I ran into an old friend. Best cup of coffee, whatever it is. You start looking for the good in the day instead of the bad. Because we naturally look for like the bad, right? Right before you go to sleep, you start kind of thinking about your day. You always look at, oh, why didn't I do this? How did I forget that? Why did I say this? What am I going to get through tomorrow? And you start stressing or you go down the negative loop. But if you do gratitude and you look through your day for the gifts and blessings, start retraining your brain to notice the good in the day. So if that becomes part of your routine, you can start kind of reframing and retraining your brain to be a little more positive. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
And the happier we are, the more resilient we are. So it just all works hand in hand.
Yeah. So my husband and I have been together 17 years. I am definitely always been a cup half full girl. So I really don't struggle with this. So it's kind of funny. I'm always like, what's your excuse? 17 years. And I still have to remind you to be grateful. So anyone that's struggling out there, if it's taking you longer than the science, like you're not alone. Talk to my husband.
It's the consistency. When people don't do anything consistently, or they do it for a few months and then they forget about it because they're happier again. It's something you have to stick to just like the way you would an exercise routine. Yeah. You know, you do it every day and you don't go, oh, well, I lost the 5 pounds. Now I stop because then it'll come back.
Yeah.
It's like you just got to stick with it and make it lifestyle.
Yeah. Gratitude. I heard this from someone that I just loved this and it really resonated. You know, we talk about distractions. Gratitude is a distraction. It's a distraction. It's a positive distraction. And I was when I heard that, I was like, gosh, that totally makes sense. Like it just like really made sense. So again, I've always been grateful. I was raised that way. I will give that props to my parents. And, but when I heard that kind of recently, I was like, that just, it made sense to me. I was like, gosh, that's a really cool way to look at it, especially because we're living in this world with so many distractions. And some are not so great, that it's kind of like an interesting perspective and a reframe. So
yeah, it does. Yeah. It takes you out of the negative and into the positive for a few minutes and it gets you to savor it and really think about it. Just don't get stuck in the rut of like saying the same things every day because that's what people do. And then they don't appreciate the gratitude. So that's why it's great to look through your day and notice the gifts and blessings because there's always something new to notice. And then you start shifting what you look for. And that's a real positive because we do have control over our mindset. That is part of our control. Mm-hmm. So what you choose to look at is up to you, but we just got to get out of the habit of looking at the negative.
Yeah. Yeah. Now you had, when we first connected, you couldn't swallow. Was that part of your health journey with your work, like your job before you transitioned?
So it was about 11, 12 years ago, I got this very strange illness where I just couldn't swallow anymore, not even water. And in 2 months, I lost 28 pounds because I couldn't eat at all. And I work with brain injury, and a lot of times there's stroke, and a lot of stroke victims have a hard time swallowing and they use thickener. So I was like, did I have like a minor stroke? Like no one could figure it out. Going to doctors, going to tests. No one took 8 months before they figured this out. And back in the day, it was a very new illness. Now it's much more common. But what I have is called laryngeal pharyngeal reflex, which is similar to Barrett's in your esophagus, but mine's in my throat. So basically, I burn my throat with acid from food. And instead of it coming straight from your stomach, because I had no acid, I didn't have acid reflux in my stomach. So when they did an endoscopy, where they scope you down your mouth into your stomach, they're like, your esophagus is fine, your stomach is fine. So they didn't see it. You have to scope up your nose into your throat and then you can see. So I had to find a special doctor in New York City who finally did the right test 8 months later and you could see. So not only was it burned, then it causes all the scar tissue on top of it. And then you get all this post-nasal drip to kind of heal it so you can't swallow. So my throat was so inflamed. It took me, say, almost 2 years before I could swallow like a kid-sized meal. Like it was really like, I remember sitting with a nutritionalist and she's like, the way you eat is going to take you like 4 years to gain your weight back. And it did. She was completely right. And it's an incurable illness. And it also caused a lot of nerve damage from all the burns on my throat because they couldn't figure it out. So now I have nerve damage. So I can't feel certain textures of food. Stroke victims, for them, they need thickener. For me, it's like the opposite. Crunchier is better. Like, so if I wanted to eat yogurt, I'm not allowed yogurt anyway, but I'll do like an almond milk yogurt because dairy turns to acid. I have to put like granola or something in it to feel the texture. I can't feel it, so I choke on it. Like a yogurt, a smoothie, just anything like that. Soup, can't, it's harder for me to swallow than something like toast or granola. So it's the opposite. It's precancerous. I have to stay on an alkaline diet for life. So it was a very big shift physically. But it was a very big shift mentally because an alkaline diet, which is very healthy, it's the anti-cancer doctor diet, gets rid of all your inflammation, but you can't eat hardly anything. It's worse than my friend, I was out last night, my friend's a diabetic and he can eat more than I can. My husband's gluten-free, he can eat more than I can because we're not allowed any fruit except for melons, because fruit is acid. You can't have dairy, turns to acid. No alcohol, nothing with carbonation, so no soda, not even carbonated water. Can't have anything spicy, so that gets rid of any kind of like Cajun, Mexican, Italian food, no sauce at all. No, I think there's like three hard cheeses I'm allowed. So basically, and nothing high in fat. So it's very, very, no black pepper, no garlic, no onions, because almost everything is acid. Now, for a normal person, that would be fine, but for me, I can't forever. It's kind of just stuck like this. So no chocolate, which is the killer, because that's my favorite. No ice cream. Yeah. So it was a mental change. Really had a shift because it felt like punishment. It felt like everybody, because food is a social. You go out, everybody's eating. I can't eat. Not only that, I have to eat very slow because of my throat. So, you know, people are done eating. I'm not even halfway through whatever I'm eating. So I've learned to take everything home with me and eat it for the next 3 days because it'll take me a while to eat food, which is better for me because the slower we eat, you know, when you're full, you get less acid, you get less air, you know, which makes you burp and feel uncomfortable. I don't get bloated. It's a healthier way of living. And in one way, I'm very blessed for it because it keeps me thin. It keeps me healthy. But it's also a very tough illness to deal with the rest of my life. So it was a big, big mindset change. And gratitude was one of the biggest tools I used to get through it.
Wow. That's incredible. And how was that caused? Like, is there...
They said a lot of speakers get it. So the lady that I went to, she's retired now. She was up in West or East Side, right near like all the opera singers lived. A lot of people on Broadway, opera teachers. And I've been teaching college for 20 years. When you're projecting your voice, it's one of them. And also, I was having problems swallowing for years and nobody could figure out. So if they would have known about the illness years ago, I probably could have solved it. But nobody really knew about laryngeal pharyngeal reflex. If you look at all your foods, there's always acid in it now. They put like citric acid, lactate, and it's a preservative. But it's causing so many people to get this illness. Like when I first started, it's an ENT that works. So when I didn't want to keep going to Manhattan, to find a doctor who dealt with my illness was really hard. I found a great one. Now, 10 years later, he has like 700 people with my illness. But back then, it was really new because they just started using all the acid in foods. They never did. But now a lot of people, but they catch it much quicker now because the main symptoms are, you know, you do this all the time. And you get a lot of post-nasal drip and people think it's allergies and it congests your whole, like, you get a sore throat, your ears are clogged, and people just keep thinking it's allergies. And they used to look down my throat and be like, oh, it looks like strep. It felt like strep, but it wasn't. I was just burning my throat over and over with foods that I thought were healthy, like, you know, strawberries and blueberries or having orange juice, things that you wouldn't think, but they're acidic.
Oh my gosh. That's incredible. Wow, I'm mind blown. I really don't know what to say. So yes, your practice of gratitude, I'm sure was.
Yeah, it was really important because I couldn't speak for a while either. I lost my voice and I couldn't speak at all for like 6 months. And speaking is my majority of my career. So I still have to be careful and realize, try to always use a microphone, try to always, you know, eat healthier foods beforehand. I just got to really be on top of it. Because it really phases my career. So it's definitely been a big change. But you get post-traumatic growth where you go through something traumatic and you can look at it from a different viewpoint or different lens. And then you can also see the good in it and you can make a change. And I think having that illness really helped me with my clientele at the time, which was brain injury and spinal injury, because going through an illness, not that I ever understood what it's like to have a brain injury or stroke. I don't, but I actually knew what it felt like not to swallow, which connected with a lot of my clients who can't from a stroke. But also it made me have different types of empathy than I didn't before. Right. Because now I was like, oh my God, like now I actually know how much it could really change your life. Mm-hmm. So it definitely helped me in my career.
Yeah.
So I can look at the good side now, 10 years later.
Yeah, that's incredible. That's really amazing. And I wanted to thank you for sharing that. Like, wow. I also wanted to talk about fear, which probably parlays into what you went through, right? So, gosh, yeah. And yeah, you just did a video. We were connected on Facebook. And for everyone out there, I'll put Diane's full bio in the show notes with how to connect with her. And Facebook is one of the places she shows up regularly on, but she just did a little video about fear and fear is the devil. That's what I say.
I couldn't agree with you more. Absolutely.
So yeah. Do you do workshops on fear? Cause I know you are a speaker and you do a lot of workshops and a lot of speaking.
Yeah, I do a lot of workshops on managing stress and anxiety, and anxiety is a lot to do with fear, right? We get that anticipatory anxiety, fear of the unknown, the uncertainty, which I did a lot through the pandemic because that was everybody's biggest fear. You know, what is this going to look like? When is it going to end? But, you know, one of my favorite statistics for fear, which I love and I use for myself and my clients, is 90% of what we fear never, ever happens. Like that is such an amazing statistic.
It is.
To just, you know, when you're having a lot of fear, you want to have self-talk, right? You want to talk back to yourself, whether it's anxiety, fear, the mix of two, panic attack. You always want to self-talk. So you want to remind yourself if you're really panicky or anxious that it could feel harmful because it could be a full-blown attack, but it's harmless. You know, having a random panic attack, I don't mean random. They could, you know, be specific and you know the reason why, but you're not having them all the time. They feel harmful, but they're harmless. Reminding yourself that. Reminding yourself that this is temporary. Because everything in life is temporary. So you might feel like shit right at this moment, but next week or tomorrow, you won't. And then reminding yourself that 90% of what you fear never, ever happens. And out of the other 10% left, 5% actually happens. And then 5% happens, but not half as bad as you thought. Very manageable. So really, when you break it down, you're like, wow. All right, this kind of sucks, but I'll get through this. And it's not as bad as I thought. You know, I had a client who just had dental work. But when right before, week beforehand, she's like, it's a root canal. She's panicking. She hates the dentist. And root canals are painful if you ever had them. And it's a long process, a lot of money. And I said to her, I'm like, 90% of what you fear never happens. She's like, I'm trying to like motivate myself with that comment. And afterwards she came back, she's like, oh my God, it was the 5%. I go, what do you mean? She goes, I was having tooth pain, but it was from grinding my teeth. So I got a mouth guard. It only cost me like a couple of hundred and I was in and out and I don't have to go back. I mean, it sucked. I hate being at the dentist, but that was way better than a root canal. And I'm like, that's usually the way it is, but we'll put ourselves in this big anxiety, you know, mode of like, everything's going to suck and the world is over and we catastrophize. Where once in a while that does happen. Like when I couldn't swallow, it really was the worst case scenario for me. But if I look back on my life, most of it wasn't. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like remembering the big picture that everything's temporary. 90% doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. And really doing the self-talk of this is, you know, harmless. And also reminding yourself to breathe through it. Yeah. Fear, anxiety, anger, breathe. We stop breathing. We either shallow breathe, we hold our breath, and that just makes us more anxious. So remembering to breathe. The other part is remembering we hold all of these negative emotions on our body. We call our bodies the pain body for that reason. So one of the best ways through that is movement. Shake it out, go for a nice walk, stretch, do whatever you need, but move. It really makes a difference. Mm-hmm. And just getting up and taking a walk around the building, if it's work-related, or lapping your home, or stretching it out, or just shaking it, literally, or putting music on and dancing while you're getting ready, it can make a huge difference. Yeah. So just move. I mean, and a lot of people don't. They just sit at their desk all day. And I'm like, when you're feeling it, get up and move. Mm-hmm. And do that mind-body connection. Know where you hold all of that fear and stress and anxiety on your body. Because once you know where you hold it, that's where your tension is. One, you know to stretch in that area to release it from there. But it's also an alarm going off, going, oh, my neck and my shoulder's been hurting a lot, or my stomach's been turning. Let me just stop for a second and check in and think, what is going on? Am I ignoring that I'm overly stressed? Am I ignoring that I'm not taking care of myself? Is something going on that I need to work on? So use it as an alarm. You know, anxiety is not always so bad. The same with fear. It's an alarm that something's either important to you, right? You get fearful because you have to public speak. You know, my students say they'd rather die than public speak. A little harsh, but they get so nervous. But a lot of times it's because it means so much to them. Mm-hmm. So it could be with fear, it could be a warning or an alarm that it means that much to you. Anxiety could just be an alarm that you just need to stop, reevaluate, mm-hmm. and then go back to what you were doing after you realize, hey, you know, you need more self-care. I got to go into my emotional toolbox and pull out a tool to get through this. Or I just need to talk myself through this. Is this realistic? You know, is what I'm worried about really happening? Or doing a fact check. Let me go over the facts. Because anxiety can be very irrational. It doesn't always have to be, you know, stress is rational. I'm stressed. My boss is a micromanager. He's on top of me. That's stressing me out. The boss leaves, your stress leaves. Anxiety can be irrational. It could be based on things from 10 years ago. It could be based on your worst fears, but it's not always what's really going on. So fact check it. What really is going on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And those are just a few ways.
Yeah. You're so right about the anxiety. Years ago, 2018, I had this idea to start a shoe line. So I used to be a sales rep, and a lot of people in my audience know this, before I became a coach, speaker, and writer. And I did all the things for this shoe line, a logo, found a designer, a factory in Portugal, had the designs, had the bank, everything set up, right? LLC, like all the things. And I had this crippling anxiety. And I am not someone who suffers from anxiety. I'm just not that person. And I was like, what is wrong with me? I was crippled. And the second I realized I was like, I'm very intuitive. And I was like, I bet you it's that I shouldn't do this shoe line and I should use the money I had saved from my sales job to fund our sport fishing business. And it kept hitting me along with the anxiety. And the second I said to my husband, he said, I'm not going to do the shoe line. I'm not going to use my money for that from the sales business. Instead, we're going to go all in on the sport fishing business. All of it gone, 100%. It was 100% guidance to like not do it. That was not going to be the right decision. So granted, I spent some money in the process for a couple months. You know, I paid a designer and all the things, but at the end of the day, it was, you know, obviously the right decision, because that year is when our sport fishing business like blew up and became what it is now. So, yeah, so if you have an anxiety out there, take a look. Just what Darianne said, take a look, because it's your guidance. Like, it is truly a way that you listen to guidance and make decisions.
Ask yourself, what is this trying to tell me?
Yeah.
What is it that I'm not noticing? What is it that's really going on? Mm-hmm. And if you have the ability to be intuitive, which we all do, but I know a lot of us have like that self-doubt or fear that our intuition isn't right. Mm-hmm. If the anxiety keeps coming up and it's a pattern of it, there's something there. So really check in with your intuition, get quiet, mm-hmm. do some meditation, go for a walk and really get into that frame where you can listen to your inner voice. Yeah. And the intuitive voice is always positive, remembering that. The ego is the negative voice. So mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's your higher self. And years ago too, when I was in the corporate world, if I was ever stuck or frustrated, like you're saying, movement, I would go and wash my hands. And I discovered just on my own that was just a great tool to just change up the energy. And water is movement, as you know, one of the four signs. And I was like, gosh, every time I wash my hands, like, things change, my state changes, an idea comes to me. It was just this magical thing I discovered like on my own that I was like, oh my gosh, this is great. So I still use that to this day. So instead of getting frustrated, or like I said, I'm a writer. So if I get stuck as I'm writing an article for the paper, I just like go wash my hands. So, and it changes everything. It's pretty magical. So yeah.
Well, cold water is great for anxiety, just to add to anybody. So if you're feeling anxious, it could be if you're at work and you're not near anything or out, you just put your wrists and your hands underneath like ice cold water. It helps. Mm-hmm. If you're home, you put an ice pack on your head or behind your neck or on your wrist. And that makes the difference, too. So and water is very mindfulness, too. You know, just hearing the water, you know, go. So just some ideas with that, too.
Yeah. So people, write these ideas down, because the biggest thing is remembering them and doing it. We can share tips all day long, but if you're not doing it, then no change happens. So, so thank you so much for being on the podcast. This was so insightful. I really hope that everyone out there got some nuggets to learn from, not only Darianne sharing her amazing story, but also just like moving through fear, anxiety, gratitude, all these really, like she said, free things that we have access to that are pretty incredible and super, super powerful. Is there anything else you'd like to share? And please share how people can get a hold of you and be in touch with you.
Well, just thank you so much for having me. It was great to be here. And you can just reach me on my website, which is just my name, DianneLang.org. And my email's on there. You can sign up for my newsletter. And I send out a free weekly newsletter just giving different tips and tools on stress, on anxiety, fear, you know, different aging, whatever we're doing. You know, actually, I usually get a lot of my newsletters from what I'm dealing with workshops and what clients are asking for or students. So all different mental and emotional wellness topics.
Yeah. Awesome. That's amazing. So I will put all of her information again in the show notes. And thank you so much for being here with me, Darianne. I appreciate it. And I appreciate everyone out there in the audience. Thanks for watching. Bye.